If you're in the market for website hosting or to get a new domain name, use the guys at Host. Rob has a website and postshowrecaps.com. Inclusive Host. Save 25% off your hosting packages when you use our link, inclusivehost.com/RHAP. That's inclusivehost.com/RHAP. Or for more information, click on the banner in the sidebar of robhasawebsite.com. Coming to you live from my apartment, it's Rob Has a Podcast, and now here's the guy who is offering Bezos for pesos, but not getting any takers. I'm Rob Cesternino here with our Amazing Race 28, Episode 3 recap, and it was a very exciting finish to the mat tonight on the Amazing Race. I felt like that was a very strong, a lot of tension there in the fourth quarter there in the Amazing Race. And here with me to break it down is our chief Amazing Race correspondent. Here she is, the great Jessica Leese.
Yeah, hey, sorry I was a little bit late getting here tonight, Rob. I was busy shopping online for handbags.
Yeah, well, that's easier than going to the store, I think, to go and try to find one, right?
Yeah, it's a little bit easier.
Yeah, you don't miss the vendor.
Right.
All right. Well, we're going to be talking about the second week of Columbia on the Amazing Race 28. And of course, taking your questions along the way here on Rob Has a Podcast. We've got the chat room going here on robhasawebsite.com. Plus, we are also going to be taking your comments from Twitter, hashtag RHAP. We also have on the YouTube video at robhasawebsite.com/YouTube. Alex Kidwell sitting in for Scott St. Pierre tonight. So he is going to be manning the comments tonight. So a lot to do as we recap another strong episode, I think, here in Amazing Race 28. Right, Jess? You're still bullish on TAR 28?
Yeah, the more I see of this season, the more I like it. I'm having a really great time with it so far.
Okay. A little bit of a stumble for Team Rob in the Fantasy League because Darius and Cameron, really, this was like a Final Destination type thing for them where they were supposed to lose last week and then fate did catch up with them this week.
Yeah, you know, I don't prefer to think of it as a stumble for your team. I think I would prefer to think of it as a surge for my team.
No, I prefer to think of it as a stumble for all of us because I like Darius and Cameron, but maybe the Amazing Race was not their game.
Yeah, I mean, they seemed like good sports. They were great guys. They just didn't read their clues.
Yeah, they had a hard time finding where they were supposed to be at times. That was really, when we take a look at the autopsy of what went wrong, it was often that they had a hard time, you know, finding exactly where they were supposed to be at any given time. And they didn't really struggle so much with the tasks as much as they struggled with getting from point A to point B.
Well, and you know, that's an important part of this show. If you're not prepared to both be good at tasks and be good at navigation, this is probably not the show for you.
I mean, we'll talk it all through on the Exit Interview podcast on Monday, but it really seemed like from the airport last week where they got to the airport, but they were there in the first group, but they ended up on the third flight, to then they could not find where they were supposed to go to get the clue before they ended up going to the beach last week. And then ultimately they got saved by Marty and Hagen.
Mm-hmm.
And they ultimately they didn't have their car. And then this week it just came down to such a frustrating moment there as in terms of how you're allowed to do that. What is the ruling on that? The partner that is not participating in the roadblock can't say anything?
Well, we saw this last season. In fact, I think on this basically this exact same leg last season, we saw what happened when we had Denise and James Earl. Mm-hmm. And she shouted out some advice that he didn't even hear. And apparently the non-contributing roadblock member, if they say anything at all about what's going on in the roadblock, you get a penalty.
Maybe that was only a 30-minute penalty, if I recall. I feel like that they probably, Darius lost more than 30 minutes trying to find the vendor.
Sure seems like it. He got passed by like three teams.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they were doing okay.
Yeah.
So it really seemed like that was their undoing tonight as we saw Zach and Rachel came all the way back from looking like they were going to surely be eliminated earlier in the leg. So we'll talk about all of that. So Jess, overall, what did you think of leg three?
I think if you're going to stay in the same country and not travel to a different country, the best thing you can do is do as much as you can to distinguish it from the previous leg. And I think they accomplished this pretty well.
Okay.
That being said, it was kind of a fast leg. Like, there wasn't a lot of time to keep up. If you started out behind, it was a really big uphill climb for you to get out of the basement.
Yeah. And as a viewer, you don't care for that, right?
I don't really care for that. I want as much mixing up as possible.
Well, not a lot of mixing up here in leg number three. Although at the top of the race, we do have for the first time your Frisbee Bros.
My Frisbee Bros. And I was starting to feel like, you know, I should have just gone sentimental all the way and picked the people I wanted to be rooting for. But now I'm happy with the Frisbee Bros getting some time.
All right, we'll talk about how everybody did tonight as we move along. But why don't we just go through this leg and talk about some of the highlights along the way. Just how did we get this leg kicked off?
Oh, well, we kicked off the leg. We had people making their way on foot to Plaza San Diego, and they were then directed to a local fort where they had to search around in the catacombs for their next clue. And this looked like, if you don't like tiny spaces, you're not going to like this. I don't know how tall these people were that built the fort, but they had to be fairly short on average, because I think even the really tiny girls were crouching down to get through these things.
Well, that's good, because you figure that if bad people are going to come, you probably want to stay hidden from the bigger bad people.
Yeah, I suppose so. But it was a little bit, and they tried to make it out like it was going to be something really terrifying for people, and really only one team had any trouble with it at all.
Okay, so after we got our clue, then let's talk about our first actual task.
Okay, we got a detour here. And this, I got to say, was probably one of the most unbalanced detours I've seen in a while.
Yeah.
Because you had, on one hand, you had to play this traditional Colombian game called Tejo, which is basically cornhole with more explosives. And then on the other side, you've got this task where you have to convince about 10 people to ride your bus. And it was a lot of persuading people, a lot of yelling at locals, a lot of getting people to give you money. And the getting people to give you money tasks, those are generally pretty unpredictable.
Yeah, I feel like that the tasks where you have to go and beg for money do seem wholly much more difficult than something that would be just a sort of task where we go back to sort of like the Jim and Misty doctrine. Isn't it always you take the task that you could just physically power through?
Yeah, I think it's definitely something that requires brute force over skill.
Yeah,
is always the better way to go, I think.
Jess, how are you at playing cornhole? Have you ever participated in that game?
No, I've played a fair amount of cornhole. There's a couple of bars that have a cornhole set, and yeah. It's pretty fun. It's, you know, I think it's more fun the drunker you are, but really, honestly, I'm more of a bocce girl, but I've enjoyed the cornhole.
I don't think I've ever actually played it in real life. I'm pretty sure I did have in Big Brother 13, they made an app where you could play cornhole on your phone, and the people from Big Brother, like Brendan and Rachel, where you would get the thing in and Rachel would be like, yay, you did it.
If you got it wrong, would she cry?
I don't think she would cry, but I think that they would cheer for you if you did. I don't know. They play a lot of cornhole in the Big Brother backyard.
Yeah, well, you know, it's cheap. It's, you know, hours of entertainment.
Yeah. I think they've done it for HOH and Vito also on the Big Brother.
That's fantastic.
But they've never added explosives to it, which I think is an exciting element.
Yeah, I think they should be taking notes here. Yeah. Like this could make it much more exciting, because the explosive element, like, people got really excited. Like, I don't think I've seen anybody get that excited when they score a cornhole point, you know?
You mean those excitement from the explosive. Yeah. What do you call those
except,
things?
Well, except like, terror in the part on the part of Tyler, because every time loud sudden noises he does not like.
It was like that scene in Boogie Nights where they go to the guy's house to rob him.
Okay.
So then once the teams had to deal with that, and we'll talk more about the bus, or should we talk about the bus here? Because that seemed like it was in practice as well, the harder task.
Yeah, the bus just seemed so much harder. And you don't know, like, where the bus is going, who's going to be there when you go there.
Yeah.
Like, if you go through a huge crowd, okay, fine. But you could be going down back roads and there could be nobody for miles around.
Aaron and Jocelyn talked about the bus. They said it was the most fun thing they ever did. They want to do it all the time. They loved working on the bus.
Yeah, they seem to have a little bit of the, you know, the flight attendant gene in them, where they were sitting people down and, like, you know, giving them a whole spiel about bus safety and about comfort. And, you know, they've got a gift. You know, if this clever thing doesn't work out, They can go work for, I'm sure they've got a couple of angles on Southwest.
Now, Jess, let's talk about the Zach and Rachel disaster. And this is the second week in a row where they might be the new Final Destination team, because they had 2 weeks in a row where they had a huge mistake, which cost them a lot of time. Last week, it was the Read Your Clue. This week, can you explain what happened here where Rachel thought there was an extra zero on the money and she thought that ones were tens?
Yeah, that's basically, you just explained it. She thought there was another zero on the money and she didn't realize they needed 20,000, not 2,000.
Okay. So it wasn't that she thought ones were tens. She thought that hundreds were thousands.
Yeah, I think it is like 1,000s. She thought 1,000s were 10,000s.
Okay.
And on its face, that didn't make any sense, because she says, oh, we have two tens here. It's like, how are you getting tens from people that are riding the bus? Like, who's handing you a 10?
Well, I have no concept of what it costs to ride the bus in Colombia. It
costs 1,800 pesos, Rob.
1,800 pesos.
No, wow. I don't just know that off the top of my head. They actually said this on the
episode. What's the translation, conversion from pesos to pesos?
Oh, pesos to pesos. I couldn't begin to tell you. And, you know, nobody cashed in on those pesos. So you really have no idea.
I guess it really depends on who's the person doing the pesoing.
Well, you know, Blair is a cute girl. She is cute and perky and she's fun. I would guess that if anybody was going to be able to cash in on the pesoing, but apparently it was the promise of the peso that was enough.
It was just that lured them in. And then it was just like, no, it's just a bus ride.
Yeah.
My dad's
That's
right here.
That's got to be the biggest letdown.
Right. Scott didn't seem like he was too offended.
No, but Scott also had that kind of like, he got this sort of steely look on his face when she said, yeah, nobody cashed out on the bases. And you're like, and that's as it should be.
You think that Scott is a little stern?
Yeah, a little bit.
Yeah. Scott had a great moment in this episode coming up in this next task. So then let's talk about at the roadblock. So the teams really had a hard time with this. Jess, why was this so difficult, this handbag task?
I think it was difficult for one thing, because people didn't realize that they were not looking for a handbag that was necessarily 100% identical. They were looking for a handbag that was by the same designer, and a lot of people didn't know to look in the tag.
Yeah.
So that took people a lot of time, and it was also a lot of little windy streets.
And did everybody have the same designer that did the bag?
No, everybody had different designers.
Okay.
So it was like you had a different name of a person on your tag. And it was up to you to try to find the other two bags. And they looked very similar, but they weren't necessarily identical.
Did you get a sense of how far it was from one place to the other? Because on the surface, it doesn't seem like that's that hard of a task, but teams really were struggling with this.
Well, I don't know. I've never been to Cartagena myself, but I've been to a fair number of Latin American cities that all kind of have this colonial section of town where everything is very windy and the streets, and it might not be labeled that well. And they're going to be very narrow, and up and down the streets are vendors. Some of them are Amazing Race vendors. Some of them are not. I could see this taking a while because people didn't necessarily know where to go. At a certain point, you saw Aaron and Scott going and getting a map because they didn't know what they were doing.
Yeah.
Now, so it was really, it could have taken a very long time.
Now, it seemed like that the teams were sort of like arriving at the pit stop in tiers, where it seemed like, not in T-I-E-R-S, where you had the first two teams to get there, of course, the Frisbee Bros and Tyler and Corey. They seemed like that they were way ahead of the pack, and it did seem like there was a big division between them and Rooster Teeth.
Yeah, I think my theory on this is that I think it's possible that only one team was allowed to play Tejo at one time.
Mm-hmm.
And that might be the thing that might have driven people to try the bus task. And it also might be the thing that kind of spread people out, because you might have been stuck waiting there for two teams to finish playing Tejo before you got your turn.
So at the end of the race, we ended up with four teams that were all sort of bunched up, and it really seemed like any of them could have potentially gotten eliminated in the Team Clever, Scott and Blair, where we ended up having Aaron and Scott matched up together. And they were working together. Then we had Zach and Rachel that were really sort of on their own, and Darius and Cameron working together. Now, I thought this was a really interesting moment in the race tonight where Aaron and Scott were trying to figure out what to do. And there was a point where they got a map and they were working together. And then Aaron ditched Scott and he got mad.
Yeah, it looked like she maybe ditched him for real for about half a second and realized how terrible that was going to look.
Yeah.
And she probably didn't want to have to face the wrath of Blair when she was done.
You think she was more intimidated by Blair and not like that Scott wasn't going to let that go?
Yeah, I think she might have been a little afraid that Blair was going to scream at her.
Mm-hmm. You don't think we were going to go into like Dave and Connor territory and that Scott was just never going to let that go?
Well, that's true too, eh? He is the token old guy.
Yeah.
But we had a little bit of collaboration on several fronts. We also had Jessica and Cole were working together on the roadblock.
Yeah.
And she was working with him kind of almost to a fault where she said, she found all of her bags first, but she stuck with him for a while because she figures if you're not the last team, it's okay to kind of go out of your way to help somebody else. And I can see the point there, but I'm not sure I would have done that.
I feel like that's the kind of thing that me and you obsess about, but I feel like in practice, it doesn't ultimately cost them that much time. And it's just something that makes them be more likable on the race to the other teams.
Yeah. I mean, you're absolutely right about that. It's not going to really, they knew that they were not in any danger. So it wasn't a big deal.
Then we had the altercation between Scott and Erin. So Scott called her out and said, "Hey, you ran off without me. You can't have the map. That's mine."
Yeah, that was kind of petty.
And this guy was like, all right, forget it.
Yeah.
You can have it if you want it.
Maybe life and the race are too short. Plus, everyone else was there at that point, and you don't want that to be the hill you die on, right?
I like Cranky Scott.
Yeah, Cranky Scott he's much better than like boring Scott who doesn't do anything.
Yeah. Cranky Scott is my new favorite Scott. More than disapproving Scott.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, there's always that old guy on the Amazing Race that disapproves of everything everybody else is doing. And that guy is no fun whatsoever.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so then it came down to ultimately after Scott got his bag through, then it was going to be either Zach and Rachel or Darius and Cameron. At any point, did you feel like Zach and Rachel were going to be the team that got eliminated here? Did they fake you out?
It seemed really dicey for a second there. Like Zach and Rachel were making mistake after mistake, and it just felt like they were tempting fate a little too much. But you know how it is on this show. You can make a mistake as long as somebody else makes a bigger mistake than you do.
Yeah, what happened? It was like Zach was like, oh, I know exactly where the pit stop is. And then it was not where he thought it was.
Yeah, yeah. And then you have to go ask like the screaming guy with no shirt on. And, you know, nobody wants to ask that guy. Actually, everybody wants to ask that guy because he was the best part of the episode.
The screaming guy with no shirt on?
Yeah.
Okay, so ultimately it ends up a pretty close finish at the end of the race between Zach and Rachel and Darius and Cameron and Phil with a masterful fake out tonight.
Yeah, I mean, that's a pretty bog standard Phil thing to do. Like, I've seen him even take it a step further. I am sorry to tell you that you are the last team who is still racing in the next leg because here comes the other team.
Yeah, really Seacresting it up.
Yeah, he can get very Seacresty.
Yeah, he's like, turn around, they're right behind you.
Yep.
So Darius and Cameron, ultimately, they will be scheduled to join us on the exit interview on Monday. Let's talk through the teams individually in terms of how they finish, because I want to just get your thumbs up, thumbs down on these other teams. Okay, Frisbee Bros, do you feel like, was this a coming out party? Is it going to be hard to put the toothpaste back in the tube on the Frisbee Bros now? Do you feel like they're locked in?
Frisbee Bros are large and in charge.
Yeah.
Rob.
They are bros.
I'm very happy about my pick here because these guys, they've found their footing and I don't anticipate they're going to lose it anytime soon.
How big of a deal is that for a team to get over the hump, get their first win in a leg, and then can they continue that momentum?
Well, I think there's a point where you're not sure if it's something you're actually capable of doing. And once you get that first one under your belt, it's like, okay, that worked. I can get that one now. Let's go get more. And they can get some momentum under them. I think they do have one team that's really good competition for them and maybe not too many others. So they've got that going for them too.
Yeah. It'll be interesting to see. I want to know from you, Jess, where do you cut off the elite tiers of racers? Whether you think that it's a two-team race, if you think it's a four-team race, you stop us when we get to the line of demarcation between the contenders and the pretenders here. As we go through this,
I can kind of see four teams who could win right now.
Yeah, I think that's about where I see it as well. All right. So then let's talk about Tyler and Corey, who have a strong second place showing. They go 2-1-2, never finishing lower than second in the race. Corey threw Tyler under the bus, said that they only come in second when Tyler does a task. They come in first when Corey does the task.
Yeah, that was a little mean, but I think it was all in good fun.
Okay. And they didn't win the race, but they won America's hearts.
They certainly did. Like, these guys are fantastic.
Too late. Already had it.
Yeah, I know. I should have picked them first. Even with my strong showing from my Frisbee bros, I am still so jealous that Tyler and Corey on Team Rob and not Team Jess.
Yeah. All right. So, Jess, in terms of how they performed tonight, was there anything in particular that you saw that you liked?
This was just one of those legs where if you dropped behind a little bit, you're not going to have an easy time of making that up unless somebody does something stupid. So I think they just got a little bit behind at the very beginning of the leg and never quite managed to get back where they were.
This was also a leg where Rooster Teeth, they had a little bit of a trouble getting to the pit stop. And it seemed like a gap between 2 and 3 here. It seemed like 1 and 2 were pretty close. But Rooster Teeth, another strong showing for them.
Yeah, Rooster Teeth are solid. They're the equivalent of, like, and they are a little bit older than most of the pack, but they are the equivalent of that kind of young dating couple who's not really necessarily the most dynamic and exciting team. Like, they don't have the most personality, but they're just good, solid racers, and you're happy to see them succeed. You can't really say much bad about them. I know for a fact that they are much funnier and more interesting people than the show is letting them be at this point. So I'm hoping we'll see a little bit more personality from them going forward.
Yeah, and they're lurking. They're like the newscasters right now.
Yeah, they're totally the newscasters. That's the perfect analogy.
You know, they're right there. They're sort of like drifting off the first two teams. Like, they're right there, and they're like positioned where they could be the team that makes a move at any point.
Right, right. They could surge ahead, or they could just like get second and third for the entire rest of the race and pull it out at the very end. We've seen that happen.
I feel like now at this point, our top three teams, I think these are the three teams that don't really have a major flaw. Whereas the fourth team, Dana and Matt, they're a strong team, but I feel like that they are a team with some warts.
Yeah, they are definitely, their biggest obstacle to winning this race is going to be each other.
Yeah, and I feel like they're contenders. They could win this thing.
Oh, yeah.
And we've seen Dave and Rachel win this team or win this race and be fighting the whole time. That definitely can happen. But I feel like that of the four teams that I think could win the race, I think I would probably handicap the Dana and Matt team to have the worst chances of those four.
Yeah, oh yeah, longest odds on them, but they are still in it. And I think even despite their own best efforts at sabotaging themselves, they are, they're racing very, very well. And I can't even imagine, and in those cases, I don't know if it would even help them if they stopped yelling at each other. Like, maybe this is just how they communicate. And if they were unable to yell at each other for some reason, or they decided to stop, maybe it's like cutting their hair. Maybe they lose all their strength.
Wow. If they stop fighting.
Yeah, maybe they stop fighting, they stop racing well.
It sounds like my marriage.
Yeah. I mean, you would be this couple, Rob.
Oh, we totally would. We would be, we wouldn't have gotten past the first pit stop without getting into a huge screaming match. Okay. Then let's talk about the Instagram. Okay, so now I feel like this is the end of like that tier of teams that I feel like are the contenders. Now I feel like we're talking about the people who, for now at least, are the pretenders.
Yes. Let's talk about
that. But I want to know from you if you think any of these five have potential to get out of this tier. So let's go through them real quick. The five teams that are left in the race. Instagram models.
Instagram models, they had a pretty strong showing this leg. Mm-hmm. Like, they were good at everything. They weren't, none of them made what I would term a game-ending mistake.
But are you seeing the high highs, or do you feel like that they're just sort of getting by?
I'm seeing them getting by, but I'm also seeing them kind of figure out what it is that they need to do. And they're really much lower key than a lot of these other teams. They aren't getting flustered by things. They aren't, they don't have deeply personal stories about why they are afraid of everything that comes down the pike. They've been really solid. And I think that's something you can't discount, especially later on in the race when the stakes get higher. I think they're going to be very good in the clutch.
Jess, how about Sherry and Cole, who were number six tonight? Are you seeing a turnaround potentially for them?
Yeah, definitely. Sherry and Cole are also one of those teams that's figuring it out. And a lot of these teams, they start to catch on to what they need to do and how they need to be, and they don't catch on fast enough. But Sherry and Cole jumped up to sixth place this week, and I think they're going to be, you know, they're going to do okay. I think they're going to hang in. I don't see them going all the way, but I could see them sticking around for a little while.
All right. Team Clever.
Team Clever is kind of a hot mess.
Aaron and Jocelyn. But I do feel like that they have potential. I feel like if there was one of these teams that could figure it out, I kind of feel like I wouldn't be surprised if it was them and they have like a couple of good legs.
I could see them, you know, kind of pulling some cheerleader upside, as mm-hmm. we kind of predicted earlier. But I also see them, they're the ones that keep getting that soundbite of, this is something that I've been terrified of my whole life. I can't do this. Mm-hmm. And then we cut to commercial, like, this is impossible. Cut to commercial. Mm-hmm. And we've seen teams go very far on that soundbite. We've seen, like, Amy and Maya got that soundbite pretty much constantly, and they ended up winning. So it's not out of the realm of possibility. And I think they are very smart, and I think they are very adaptable, but it just seems like they've had a really rough couple of legs. What with Aaron's entire list of phobias being, like, writ large for everyone, you know, in the viewing audience to observe.
Yeah.
That's a little rough.
Did you like that they were willing to give out huggos on the race, coming on the heels of last week when Marty was on the race?
I'm a big fan of El Huggos.
Yes. Okay. Then, Scott and Blair.
Scott and Blair. I'm not feeling optimistic about Scott and Blair.
Well, what do you think about them? Because they were last in the first leg. It was not elimination. And then it seemed like that there was a little glimmer of hope last week where they rose to ninth. But now they sort of end up here at eighth. Do you feel like they sort of stalled out in terms of momentum, and it's just a matter of time until they get down to like eight teams that they'll be eliminated?
Well, technically, we do have to acknowledge that that is steady improvement, mm-hmm. going from 10th to 9th to 8th. But I haven't seen anything out of Scott and Blair that makes me think there's some hidden depths to their racing abilities. What I see is, like, Blair not even wanting to carry her own pack, you know, making her 58-year-old father do that for her, mm-hmm. and going to the Baso well pretty fast.
Yeah.
And she already feels like, it already feels like she's over it. Like, at this point, it seems like she's just kind of, you know, she's there because she has to be. And there was a point they were on their way to the detour, and she said, and the words you would think sound determined, but the way she said them were not determined. Mm-hmm. She says, I'll do whatever it takes. I'll twerk if I have to.
Twerk?
Yes.
Okay, what but is the conversion on twerkos to besos?
I'm not sure what the twerko to beso ratio is, but the way she says this, she's looking out the window and she sounds so bored. I'll twerk if I have to.
Yeah.
It's like nobody was asking you to twerk. Nobody was really asking you to beso either, but, you know, to her credit, she did get people onto that bus. So, and she didn't even actually have to give out the besos. So that was pretty impressive.
Or the twerking.
Yeah. That being said, there aren't going to be a lot of twerking and basoing detours left.
No. All right. Jess, is there anything you could tell me to get me pumped up about Zach and Rachel again?
Zach and Rachel were your terrible pick, Rob. It's not my job to make you feel good about that.
Well, why? I mean, as a friend, I'm asking you. I'm asking for some sympathy.
Yeah, well,
pump me up about Zach and Rachel. And give me the silver lining.
As the captain of the competing team, I guess I could make you feel good about this pick. They're nice to each other. I guess you could say that about them. I haven't seen them turn their frustration with the race on each other, and that's a really important skill that certain other racers on your team don't have.
Leave Dana and Matt out of this, Jess.
All right. I noticed that Zach is one of these people, like, he's getting recognized everywhere he goes. I've never heard of this guy because I'm not
Final Cut King.
I'm not hip with the vines. So I thought that was kind of amazing that people, like, they're using a little bit of the Robin Amber cred to get ahead. Like, that guy got on the bus because he recognized Zach.
Yeah.
You know, that's pretty good. And I think they're very smart. I think they're just out of their element. And they could, if somebody else makes a big mistake, they could certainly be around long enough to figure out what they're doing wrong and get a little bit better. But if these guys were your winner pick, I would be like, have you learned nothing in the 3 years that we've been doing this?
All right, let's get into some of the questions. Alex has been putting together the questions, hashtag RHAP, or also on our YouTube channel, leaving us a comment. Let's get into it. Jess, we'll start this off with Alex. Alex G wants to know, how many times will they show a team getting recognized by a local and then taking a selfie with them? We should have got a point for that.
I can't believe we don't have a point system for people getting recognized, because that's happened enough times now that it's probably going to happen every episode.
How many more times do you think we'll see it? You think we'll see it a lot more?
I think we'll see it at least once an episode from here on out.
Let's take a question from Jackson Kruger, who says, I wish I liked anything as much as Blair liked it when people got on the bus.
I saw that. That was very funny.
Yeah, you said she wasn't enthusiastic.
She was enthusiastic in the heat of the moment. When she started throwing out the promise of pesos, that kind of perked her up. But on the way there, she was kind of phoning it in.
Maybe she was spent after being so excited people got on the bus.
This was on the way to it, so I don't know. That excitement came from somewhere else.
Okay, she dug deep. All right, this is from Chicken_Morris on Twitter. Survivor Chicken said, can we call this season Yellers versus Screamers? So many loud teams. Well, that might speak to the state of social media. I think you, especially on Vine, on Twitter, on Instagram, you only have like a couple seconds to get somebody's attention.
It's true. It might be the reason that so many of these teams did so well on Bus Task, because they're used to having 6 seconds to get your attention.
Yeah, I think that's conducive. It's the same skill set.
Okay. Indeed.
All right. This is from GY64, George Wise, who says, what makes having two legs in the same country more acceptable? Is it if it's like a new country like Colombia?
Yeah, I think it's more acceptable if it's a country they've never been to, and especially someplace like Colombia where there's a lot to do. And if we did two legs in like Germany or India or China, you've been to those places a dozen times before Amazing Race. There's only so much time you could spend there before it feels like it could be any season. And this is already, you know, this is Colombia. This is different. We've never been here before. Let's make the most of it. So I was totally happy we spent another week there.
Okay. Let's take another question. This one is from Ashley Bedazzle, who says, do the legs seem a whole lot easier this season compared to last season, Jess? Have you noticed in the social media season the legs are easier?
I think this week the leg felt a little easier, but I don't think that's been true on the whole.
But they struggled, I felt like, so much.
Yeah, they did struggle. Well, this week the tasks, I thought, were mostly pretty easy. The struggle was all things they would have struggled with regardless of the difficulty level of the task. Mm-hmm. So this week I thought was easy. The whole race, I don't think so.
Let's keep going. This is from Crystal. Wants to know, did you notice the vendor giving serious side eye to the team stepping on her goods? Jess, did you catch any side eye?
I wasn't looking for side eye, but, you know, I will trust the side eye patrol.
Jess, what could Darius and Cameron have done? It seemed like, you know, Darius is running around. Could Cameron have done anything on the sly to sort of like yawn and like, whoa. Right there.
I'm pretty sure that would have been a penalty.
Somebody was watching him the whole time?
Oh, yeah. I mean, there's a camera, Rob. That's how we see it. I think what Darius needed to do was stop. Like, it's clearly not working out for him. He needs to stop and get the clue out and read the clue again.
That's right. Read your clue. When in doubt, read the clue.
Hashtag read your clue.
Okay. Adam555. Are musicians going to be a recurring theme this season? Drummers, mariachi bands, and now even an emphatic trumpet player, Jess?
Final leg memory task.
You think so?
No.
No. I don't think so.
Okay. I think that we have a lot of musicians. I think that's just an easy shorthand for this is what country we're in.
This is from Mr. Air Sonic. Great episode. Very intense roadblock. However, once again, Darius and Cameron were extremely blasé. Wow. We have a tilde on a comment. Darius was walking, even though there was only one team left.
Yeah, they seem to lack a certain hustle at certain points.
Jess, you have seen hundreds of Amazing Race teams. Did you think that Darius and Cameron, their hearts weren't in it?
No, I think they were enjoying themselves, but I don't know that they necessarily had the drive to take it all the way. I don't know that they knew what they were getting into.
Let's go to Shay Renee, who says, do you think that the dancers are the second coming of Tim and Marie? Arguing is the only way we can focus.
I mean, that's a common thing we've seen a lot of teams go through. So I think that's definitely possible.
How do you know if it's working for a team and how do you know if it's a distraction?
Well, is their performance consistent?
Mm-hmm.
Because there's some teams that argue all the time and they'll go from like second place to ninth place to fourth place. And, you know, these guys, fourth place, they're just like banging it out.
Do you take anything away from looking at like the placement of like, is there any sort of like sabermetrics that gets involved with the Amazing Race where you could sort of like track consistency as opposed to a team that's more volatile where sometimes they're at the front of the pack, sometimes they're at the back of the pack?
Yeah, well, I think people frequently calculate average placement for all the teams. Mm-hmm. And the teams that end up in the same spot all the time tend to do a little bit better on that front.
Interesting. Do you toss out the outliers?
No, don't toss out the outliers because I think that's valuable information.
How about from Mr. Airsonic? Do you think we'll get an eating task this season or have them drive their own cars for Ron? So let's take that in two parts. First, will they eat?
Absolutely, they'll eat.
Okay. Will they drive their own cars?
They may not drive their own cars. We don't really have Ford anymore. And I think Ford was the main reason we were driving our own cars before.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
The exception to that is if we go somewhere that has a car that's local to the region, and that's something they've done a few times in previous seasons, like they will go to Eastern Europe and have to drive one of those little junky Soviet cars.
A Yugo?
Yeah, I think it might have been a Lada. There's like several different ones. There's the Trabants in Germany, and there's the Lada that's, I think, maybe it's a Soviet car, but they had them in Hungary. So there's several of those, and there's the Skoda.
Mm-hmm.
It could be any one of those.
Jess, do you think the Amazing Race as we know it will be completely unrecognizable to us at the dawn of the self-driving car?
I don't think the Amazing Race is ever going to really fully employ the self-driving car.
What do you mean?
I think you'll still have to program the self-driving car or do something.
Okay, we'll see. We'll see how that goes. Randy Nuppel wants to know, 111.86 in the Amazing Race Fantasy Draft. Rob leads Jess.
Yeah, but I'm catching up.
Yeah, Jess is making a move.
You were putting the hurt on me last week, and I have come back. So those Frisbee bros snag another first place. It's going to be interesting.
Jess, I did see some positive news this week for the Amazing Race. I think the word on the street is that Amazing Race 29 sounds like it is going to be filming a season this summer.
That's fantastic. I know they are casting. I've heard some rumors about what they're looking for in casting, so that should be very interesting.
I know that you had some concern about maybe this was going to be the end of the line.
I have concern every time we have a stupid gimmicky season like this. And by and large, my concerns go unfounded, but I would rather set that bar really low.
Better to have low expectations.
Yes. Okay. I don't like being disappointed.
All right, Jess. Do you have a hashtag for this episode of the podcast?
I would probably go with El Twerco.
El Twerco. Good job. Okay. So we are slated to do an exit interview with Darius and Cameron. If for any reason that does not come to fruition, I don't know how busy that everybody's schedule is going to be with the social media season, but I will probably hear from CBS on Monday if that's the case and then pass that information along to you guys. But unless you hear anything different, we'll have our exit interview on Monday. Then we'll be back next Friday night to do this all over again. Had a very exciting week of podcasts. We really did a ton of podcasts on RHAP this week between everything from Survivor. We were live at the Hollywood Improv this past Wednesday night. Had a sold out show. Great times. Jess, did you enjoy the live Survivor Know-It-Alls?
Yeah, that was a lot of fun. And it was fun in a different way from the New York ones because you got some different Survivor alumni up there. And I thought it sounded like a great crowd and a really fun time. I am bummed to have missed it.
Everybody was into it. It was a really, really good audience. Hot room, they say.
Yes, it sounded like it.
Yeah. And then don't miss our Survivor recap, Natalie Anderson and then Antonio Mazzaro on the voicemails. Plus, we also earlier tonight, just right before we came on here with the Amazing Race, myself and Jordan Parhar and Alex Kidwell talked about Big Brother Canada 4. That show will premiere this Wednesday night. Jordan Parhar is doing a lot of coverage himself on reality TV wrap-ups, including a live Big Brother Canada fantasy draft with a bunch of Big Brother Canada and Big Brother US alumni. That's coming up on Saturday at 5. Check out Jordan Parhar. Follow Jordan Parhar on Twitter if you want to find out more about that. Jess, anything else? Okay, listen to Jessica Lease on post-show recaps talking about the Walking Dead book club.
Oh, that's right. I'm doing that too.
Yeah, look at you. And of course, Josh Wigler and I are going to be live for more Walking Dead on post-show recaps this Sunday night as well. And look for maybe we might have another RHAP podcast coming up over the weekend. I might drop a little surprise on you guys over the weekend too. So we got a lot going on. We are in the thick of it. Amazing Race is going on. Survivor's going on. Big Brother Canada is going on. And that's just on RHAP. So a lot happening. Thanks so much for checking this show out tonight. Thanks, Alex Kidwell, for manning the social media. Follow Jessica Lease on Twitter, at Haymaker Hattie. I'm at Rob Cisternino. Looking forward to reading what you guys have to say in the comments, and we'll talk to you soon. Take care, everybody. Bye.